Would you call the Senate, please?
Yes, I would. Mr. President, I'd like to call the Senate.
Here's a call of the Senate. Senate, stand at ease. Senate will please come to order on the 119th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence? Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I lift the call.
Call has been lifted, Madam Secretary.
The roll shows 50 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Please stand for the invocation by today's chaplain, Senator Sturgalewski.
Dear Lord, whoops. Senator Coghill.
Let's pray. Almighty God, you have proclaimed your truth in every age by many voices. Direct in our work, we pray, the truth and forthrightness we speak on this floor. And those who interpret our actions by speaking where many listen and write where many read, that they do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, and its will righteous through truth and forthrightness. Lord, as the 16th legislature comes to a close, grant us in all our work in these long closing days to have compassion towards one another, to understand each other, to pardon one another in the time of heated debate, and to be ever mindful of your needs. We also thank you, Lord, for the friendship and the companionship you have so crafted among the members of this Senate and its staff in this past 118 days. All this we say in your name. Amen.
Will Senator Pierce please lead us in the pledge this morning?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Sturgalewski.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Without objection, the prayer is spread in the journal. We don't have a journal to certify today. It will be printed later. Introduction of guests. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Ziegler Gallery today is the son of longtime friends of mine from my district. He has been serving as a page on the House side. Please help me welcome Liam Westcott from Fairbanks.
Senator Ewing.
Mr. President, just show me his present.
Senator Ewing will be shown his present. Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. We normally don't introduce newspaper reporters here, but I had the opportunity to meet a young man that's working for the one of the state's largest papers in the state, and he's been in Alaska since last Wednesday evening. His first assignment's been down here in Juneau, and certainly getting an education, and I hope that his next assignment is going to be a lot less hectic. I'd like to introduce this time Mr. David Fuchs. Is that correct?
Fuchs.
I didn't mention, but he was from Florida.
Further introductions, messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated May 5th, dear Mr. President, the House has passed and returned CS for Senate Bill number 59, Transportation Amended, Mandatory Use of Safety Devices in Motor Vehicles. CS for Senate Bill number 332, State Affairs Am, Records of Missing Children. Senate Bill number 342, Reenlistment Bonus for Members of the Alaska National Guard. CS for Senate Bill number 357, Labor and Commerce, State, Borough, and City Electric Codes. These bills have been referred for enrollment. Message dated May 5th, dear Mr. President, the House has passed CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 38, Finance, Establishing Task Force on Adolescent Pregnancy and Parenthood Issues with the following amendment. House CS for SCR 38 Hess and returning for consideration.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Concurrent Resolution 38. Mr. President, the House added on page 3, line 1, teenage mother or pregnant teenager. I would recommend a yes vote, Mr. President.
Question being, shall the Senate concur in House amendments to House Committee Substitute to Committee to Sponsor Substitute to Senate Concurrent Resolution 38 Hess? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary, record the vote. So the Senate does concur in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 38 Hess by a vote of 14 yeas and no nays.
Message dated May 4th, and Mr. President, the House has passed. CS for Senate Bill Number 53 Hess with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 53 Hess amended House relating to teachers' retirement system effective date and returning for consideration.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill Number 53. And Senator Duncan asked that, and I would recommend a yes vote.
Senator Halford.
Explanation of the differences, Mr. President.
Senator Duncan.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. The differences appear on page 7 of the legislation, if you'll flip to that. Beginning on line 21 and through the end of the bill, it's changed the vesting requirements that are presently in statute for a vested member. There was an amendment added to the floor, on the floor. The change is that 12 school years of part-time membership service or 12 school years in each of which the member earned either part-time or full-time membership service can be counted for vesting. I've discussed this with the Division of Retirement Benefits and also with the Governor's Office. Have an indication that it's acceptable.
Further discussion on the bill. The question is, shall the Senate concur in House amendments to House Committee Substitute, to Committee Substitute, to Senate Bill 53 Hess, amended House. Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. If any senator wish to change their vote, Secretary record the vote, and so the Senate does concur in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute to Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 53 Hess, amended House. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, move to unanimous consent to the vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Message dated May 5th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed Senate Bill Number 432 relating to misconduct involving possession of a weapon by a person who is in violation of a domestic violence restraining order with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill 423 Judiciary.
Madam Secretary, was that 423?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Senator Rohde.
Transposed the first time. Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 423. The House added, other than an ordinary pocket knife on the last page. I would recommend a yes vote, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Question being, shall the Senate concur in House amendments to House Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 423 Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so the Senate does concur in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 423 Judiciary by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays.
Message dated May 5th, or Mr. President, the House has passed CS for Senate Bill Number 428 Transportation with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 428 Finance, Alaska Marine Highway System, its funding and its budget, establishing the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund effective date.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 428. The House version removed the language on page 2, line 15 to 17. I would recommend a yes vote.
Further discussion? Question B, shall the Senate concur in House amendments to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 428 for Finance? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So the Senate does concur in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 428 Finance by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Message dated May 5th. The House has passed Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 28 Finance by the Finance Committee, endorsing renewal of the Point Warsnop NPDES permit with a variance from secondary wastewater treatment requirements.
Senator Strigilisky. Senator Kennedy. Back to order. Madam Secretary, SCR 38?
HCR
28, Rules Committee.
I have
House Concurrent Resolution Number 63 amended, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning SJR 50 relating to the rule adopted by the United States Fish and Wildlife Service relating to sea otters.
Rules Committee.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 65, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 15, including Public School Employees and the Public Relations Act.
Rules Committee.
CS for House Number 581, financed by the Finance Committee, an act creating the Universal Health Care Task Force and providing for an effective date.
Rules Committee. Senate will stand at ease.
Those are all the messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Madam Secretary, did you read over House Bill 581 Finance?
Yes, I did. I referred it to the 581.
Okay, well, I meant to refer it to the Finance Committee. Oh, leave it to the Rules Committee. Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports to standing committees.
Judiciary Committee considered House Bill Number 55, Judiciary Amended, Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Fake's chair, concurring. Senators Halford, Zemanski, Rodin, Pierce, previous year fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 55, Judiciary Amended, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 58, Judiciary, Enforcement and Penalty Provisions of Certain Law on Fire Protection. Reports it back as follows. Senator Fakes, Chair, and Senator Halford sign no recommendation. Senator Zemanski signed due pass. Previous House, zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 58, Judiciary, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 75, Judiciary, Construction Contractor Licensing Requirements effective date, and recommends it be replaced with Senate CS. For CS for House Bill 75, Judiciary, and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring Senators Zemanski, Pierce, Brody, and Halford, 2-0 fiscal notes. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 75, Judiciary, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Resources Committee considered House Bill Number 315, Judiciary Amended, Criminal Penalties for Negligent Operation of a Tank Vessel for Negligent Oil Discharge for Failure to Comply with an Oil Discharge Contingency Plan. Recommends it be replaced with Senate CS. For CS for House Bill Number 315, Resources. And reports it back as follows. Senator Perrenkamp, Chair, signed no recommendation. Senators Elias, Mr. Zelusky, Katula, and Sharp signed due pass. Zero fiscal unattached. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 315, Judiciary Amended, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 346, Resources, establishing the Yakutat State Game Refuge, and recommends it be replaced with Senate CS for CS for House Bill 346, Resources. And reports it back as follows. Senator Fehrenkamp, Chair, and Senator Jaroff signed no recommendation. Senator Elias, Senator Zelusky, and Kurtula signed due pass. Fiscal note and zero fiscal unattached. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 346 has no further referral.
Rules Committee. It did pick up the fiscal note. Finance Committee.
Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 432, Resources, Thin Fish Farming, and reports it back as follows. Senator Fehrenkamp and Senator Sturzelewski signed no recommendation. Senator Elias and Jaroff and Katula signed due pass. Zero fiscal note and further attached letter of intent. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 432 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 469, Finance, State Education Policy, and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Binkley, New, and co-chairs, concurring. Senators Duncan, Fisher, Jarre, Pearson, Frank, zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 469, Finance, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 488, Judiciary Amended, prohibiting the suspended imposition of a sentence for a person convicted of using a firearm in the commission of a crime, and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring. Senators Halford, Zemanski, Rodin, Pierce, previous House, zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 488, Judiciary Amended, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 491, Judiciary amended. A sentencing commission effective date recommends the Judiciary Senate Committee substitute be adopted and reports it back as follows. Senator Binkley, co-chair, and Senator Frank signed due pass. Senators Ewing, Duncan, Jaroff, and Fisher signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 491 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 563, State Affairs amended. Amount of a permanent fund dividend to information regarding the value of dividends and to the partial exemption of dividends from remedies for the collection of debt effective date. Recommends the State Affairs Senate Committee substitute be adopted and do pass. Report was signed by Senators Binkley and Ewing, co-chairs, concurring. Senators Duncan, Fisher, Jaroff, Pearson, Frank, fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 563 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 571 Hess, notice to obligators and obligations relating to support. The majority of the committee recommends the Hess SCS be adopted and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Ewing and Binkley co-chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Fisher, and Frank. Zero fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 571 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee.
Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 578, Council Oversight Council on Oil and Other Hazardous Substances. And majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Senate CS for House Bill Number 578 Resources and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, concurring Senators Kurtula, Sturgiluski, Eliza, and Jaroff, fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 578 Finance amended has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Rules Committee
Federal Standards.
Considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 89 Hess Retirement and the Teachers Retirement System recommends it be replaced with the Rural Senate CS and do pass and calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Rody and Kelly. This bill appears on today's calendar. Rules Committee considered Senate Resolution Number 22, Senate Special Committee on Healthcare Facilities Assignment, recommends calendar and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rody. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 58, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35, concerning House Bill 89 related to eligibility for retirement on the Teachers Retirement System. Recommends calendar and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Rody, Elias, and Kelly. Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 282 Finance, cooperation between school districts for educational and administrative services. Recommends calendar and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rody. This bill appears on today's calendar. Rules Committee considered CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 57, State Affairs. House Joint Resolution Number 70, amended. CS for HJR 69, Foreign Trade. CS for House Bill 19, Finance. House Bill 316. CS for HB 364, Hess, amended. House Bill 418. CS for House Bill 478, CNRA. CS for House Bill 480, CNRA. CS for House Bill Number 481, Finance, amended. CS for House Bill Number 523, Finance, and CS for House Bill Number 557, Labor and Commerce, and recommends they be calendared. The reports were signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly, Rody, and Eliason. These bills and resolutions appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports to special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction to Senate resolutions.
There are no resolutions.
Introduction to Senate bills.
There are no bills.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Before we begin, I'd like to inform the members that we anticipate a supplemental calendar this evening at approximately 7:30. Madam Secretary. Senator Adams. General Stanides. Madam Secretary.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 19, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act related to citizen review panels for certain children in state custody, court view of cases relating to children, establishing the citizen review panel for permanency planning and providing for effective date. Judiciary Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Frank's Chair, concurring Senators Halford and Rody, previous House fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Sprinkle and Ewing, co-chairs, concurring Senator Jaroff and Pierce. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Rody and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rody. Without objection, House Bill 19 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 19, Finance, an act related to citizen review panels for certain children in state custody, court review of cases relating to children, establishing the citizens review panel for permanency planning and providing for an effective date.
Question being, Senator Hufford.
This legislation seems to have a rather lengthy fiscal note. Looks like it's now at $570,000. I wonder if we could get an explanation of the fiscal note and what it came from in the House version.
Senator Ewing.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. The fiscal note has been reduced as far down as we could possibly do it without going forward with the commission here. And I believe the House version of the fiscal note had something like 11 or 12 people in it. We reduced that down to 8. That's as far as we could get the fiscal note down to $570,000.
Further discussion? The question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 19 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. So committee substitute for House Bill 19 Finance passes by a vote of 19 yeas and 16 yeas and no nays. Senator Rody.
Mr. President, the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
That objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 89 passed by the Health, Education, Social Services Committee and Act related to eligibility for retirement under teachers' retirement system. The HESC committee considers the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Fisher, Chair, and Senator Jones signed do pass. Senator Kelly signed no recommendation. Finance Committee considers the bill and majority of the committee recommends do pass. Report was sent by Senator Ewing, Chair, concurring Senator Duncan Pearson Jaros. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with Senate CS and do pass in calendar. The report was signed by Senator Zulewski, Chair, concurring Senators Rody and Kelly. Fiscal note attached. There's a rule, Senate CS.
Senator Sturgeluski.
Move Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 89 rules. Prior to asking for unanimous consent, I'd like to point out the differences. A little bit later on the calendar, we have SCR 58, which authorizes the title change. The title change, what we're doing here is to add Section 2, and what this will do would be to allow those who are covered by the underlying bill, House Bill 89, to utilize the take advantage of the RIP program. If they, in other words, if they vest under the new conditions of 89, and they are given until August 1st, 1990. So these people are brought under the eligibility for retirement, but unless we have Section 2, they would not be able to take advantage of it. We understand that there are very limited class out there, possibly a couple of people. With that, I would ask unanimous consent.
The gentleman will stand at ease.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 89 be laid upon the Secretary's desk and that we proceed down the calendar to SCR 58.
Without objection.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 58 by the Rules Committee, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill number 89 relating to eligibility for retirement under the Teachers' Retirement System. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends calendar and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Sturgeluski, Chair, concurring Senators Rody and Kelly.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall Senator Halbert?
Can we have it at ease, please, so we get to the calendar?
Senator will stand at ease.
The resolution that we have before us relates to the title change of House Bill 89 that we were considering before. The method preferred by the chair is to consider the resolution changing the title before we actually consider the bill. It's actually been done both ways in the past, but this is probably a more preferable way.
Going very fast here today. Senator Rody. Is there any discussion on the adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution number 58? Question being, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 58 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. While members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will record the vote, and so needing 14 votes to pass, SCR 58 passes by a vote of 17 to zip. To 17 yeas to no nays. Senator Rody, reconsideration?
Mr.
you insist. Mr. President, I would move that I give notice of my intent to reconsider SCR 58.
Reconsideration is noted.
I move and ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration of SCR 58 be taken up at this time.
SCR 58 is in front of us in third reading. Any discussion? Question being, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 58 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Concurrent Resolution, needing 14 votes to pass, passes by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays. Madam Secretary.
We have House Bill number 89 in front of us with a motion to adopt the rules. Yes, sir.
Yes, Senator Sturzulewski.
Yes, I would now ask for unanimous consent for the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute.
Without objection, the Rules Committee substitute is adopted. Are there any amendments?
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 89 rules by the Rules Committee, and act related to eligibility for retirement under the Teachers Retirement System and the Retirement Incentive Program effective date. Amendment number 1 by Senator Duncan, and has been distributed.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would note that that referral is wrong on that amendment. It should be to the Rules Committee version instead of the HES Committee version. It's the same line. It's just got an incorrect referral. I would move adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can explain what this does, is that a few moments ago, as you may recall, we adopted Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 53 with a House amendment on it that dealt with made a change in the retirement system so that individuals with 12 years of service, if I could find it real quick, could participate. We adopted that, sent it on. We have now found out that there was not correct language in that bill, so without this language, that amendment that they had does nothing. This is corrective language to ensure that the amendment that was on House on Senate Bill 53 that we just passed can take effect. And I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Is there further objection to the adoption? Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, let me explain that again, if I can, because it's not confusing at all. It all follows. On Senate Bill 53, if you recall, Senate Bill 53 was the bill that originally gave the automatic post-retirement pension adjustment to teachers. The House passed that. On the floor, they added an amendment. The amendment on SB 53 added to the definition sections of TRS and addressed the, or were referring to vesting. House Bill 89 does not refer to vesting, so without this amendment, the amendment that they made to 53 will not work. It was an oversight on the House's part, and if we didn't do it now, we'd have to come back next year and clean it up if they were to be able to use that language they put into House Bill 53. I've also checked, by the way, with the Division of Retirement Benefits, and they're the ones who caught the error and said that, as I said earlier, they had no problems with the amendment on 53, and they support this so that it will work.
Can we get that SCR over to the House? Senator Fisher?
Just a question. I'm not quite sure now. Does this open the RIP to other than part-time teachers?
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, the two different topics here. The amendment that I'm offering doesn't have anything to do with RIP. The amendment I'm offering has to do with the amendment that was adopted on the floor of the House that says, if you want to go back to your packet on Senate Bill 53, which we just concurred in, added some language for defining or under vested or what vested member or vested teacher means. They added language saying 12 school years of part-time membership service or 12 school years in each of which the member earned either part-time or full-time membership service. Unfortunately, they should have added this language that says or is otherwise vested in the system, because just their language didn't allow anybody to vest. They meant for it to do that, but it doesn't. So this doesn't have anything to do with the retirement incentive program at all. This is just to correct the language that was added to Senate Bill 53, which we concurred in about 15 minutes ago.
Is there further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Without objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Rohde.
House Bill 89 be considered engrossed and advanced third reading, place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 89 is in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 89 rules, an act related to eligibility for retirement of the Teachers Retirement System and the Retirement Incentive Program and providing for an effective date.
Senator Fisher.
The August 1st, 1990 retirement date, again, is this open and window for, there's a period imposed for teachers getting in the RIP program. Does this extend it to August?
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President,
Senator from Kenai is correct. The window is closed for teacher participation. This only opens the window for individuals who might now qualify under the provisions of House Bill 89 that we're enacting here. And it's a very limited number, one or two at the best, I guess is what I'm told. It does not reopen it for everybody in the TRS system, only for individuals who, under the provisions in this bill, might now vest in the system and qualify for retirement.
Further discussion. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, as I read this fiscal note, it looks like there's a $203,000 increase to municipalities. I wonder if we have any breakdown as to who that's going to cost in terms of communities across the state, or is that probably just based on population in the school district?
Senator Pierce? Senator Duncan? If you look like you're going to get up, I'll call on you.
Well, I was hesitating, but because I don't have the fiscal note, unfortunately. I've got 1,000 things here, but yes. It costs the employers across the state X dollars. I don't have a breakdown by school district, and I doubt if anyone else does at this moment either. It just depends on how many people. That's their best estimate of how many people this will affect, and I don't know if they have an estimate or a breakdown by district or not.
Further discussion. Senator Fakes.
It says on page 2 of this fiscal note that total school district cost is $203,521.
Further discussion. Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 89 Rules Amended Senate pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 89 Rules Amended Senate passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde. Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Rohde. House Bill 128 at the bottom of the calendar. Yes.
Mr. President, I would move
the
Afghanistan to House Bill 128 be placed at the bottom of today's calendar.
Without objection.
Committee Substitute for House Bill number 282, Finance, Budget Finance Committee, an act relating to cooperation between school districts for educational and administrative services and to the employment of chief school administrators. Test Committee waived referral. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Senator Curtula. Senator Stanley. Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, inquiry to the Finance Committee or to the HES Committee. If you look on line 14 of this bill, what are we talking about when we say state-operated schools? I understand that there used to be that all schools that are now within a REAA or within a district. And what do we mean when we say state-operated schools?
Senator Fisher.
Mount Edgecombe would be a school that would be in the category of state-operated.
Is there further discussion? No, are there any amendments? Senator Rohde.
Senate House Bill 282 be considered engrossed for third reading. Place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 282 is in third reading.
CS for House Bill number 282, Finance, an act relating to cooperation between school districts for educational and administrative services and to the employment of chief school administrators.
Is there any discussion? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill clarifies an ambiguity in existing law over whether school districts can cooperate together on certain administrative functions. All it does is allow this on a voluntary basis so that they can cooperate in administrative services, even to cooperation with us in the area of a superintendent. It doesn't require anything from any districts, and it doesn't weaken any statutory provisions of today.
Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 282 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so, committee substitute for House Bill 282 Finance passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays.
House Bill number 316 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to fines imposed in criminal cases against organizations. Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced to the Judiciary Senate CS and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring Senator Zemanski, Pierce, and Halford. Zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strzelski, Chair, concurrence. Senators Rudy and Kelly, as a judiciary, SCS.
Senator Fakes.
I would move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 316. And on the member's desk is a chart that shows what the Judiciary Committee did to House Bill 316. Basically, we exactly tracked federal law.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for House Bill 316, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, and act relating to fines imposed in criminal cases against organizations.
Senator Rudy.
Mr. President, I stand up to consent that House Bill 316 be considered engrossed, passed third reading, placed in final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 316 is in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill 316, Judiciary, and act relating to fines imposed in criminal cases against organizations.
Senator Fakes.
You will notice that we did track exactly federal law, and you might ask yourself, well, why didn't the House bill that passed down there on item 3, they have two times the loss, and it's not the pecuniary loss. And that might look like a very strong provision for you until you realize that criminal law does not authorize or in any way recognize non-economic damages. So what the House did is not recognized under criminal law. So what we felt very strongly in the Judiciary Committee that we could give the state no less than what the federal government has in this area.
Question being, shall Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 316 Judiciary pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 316 Judiciary passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays. Senator Binkley.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of my vote on Senate Joint Resolution 63, limit on the regular sessions.
We have in front of us Senate Joint Resolution 63 in third reading. Well, it has to be read first.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63, Finance, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to duration of a regular session.
There is a call in the Senate. Senate will stand at ease. Of the Senate has been satisfied. Is there any discussion? The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 63, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 63, Finance, passes the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas and 6 nays. Madam Secretary?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 364. Tests amended by the Health Committee, an act relating to distribution of information about fetal health effects of alcohol consumption, chemical abuse, and battering during pregnancy. Has the committee considered the bill? Majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring Senators Duncan, Adams, and Jones. Finance Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senators Binkley and Winkler, Chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Fisher, Jaroff, and Fisher. Pierce. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strzelski, Chair, concurring Senators Petula, Eliason, and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
House Bill 364 be considered engrossed in third reading, but final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 364 is in third reading.
CS for House Bill Number 364 has amended an act relating to distribution of information about fetal health effects of alcohol consumption, chemical abuse, and battery during pregnancy.
Any debate? Without discussion, committee substitute House Bill 364, Hess amended. You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for House Bill 364, Hess amended, passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays.
House Bill Number 418, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act related to quality of care in nursing facilities, establish a nursing facility resident security fund designed for an effective date. Test committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring Senators Jones, Duncan, and Adams. Finance committee considered the bill. Majority committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Binkley, Ewing, co-chairs, concurring Senators Pierce and Jaroff. Rules committee considered the bill. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelski, Chair, concurring Senators Rohde and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, the unanimous consent that House Bill 418 be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 418 is in third reading.
House Bill number 418, inoculated the quality of care in nursing facilities, establishing the Nursing Facility Resident Security Fund and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? The question is, shall House Bill 418 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so House Bill 418 passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rudy?
Mr. President, I move to ask the unanimous consent for the vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 488, Community Regional Affairs, by the Community Regional Affairs Committee, and act relating to solid and hazardous waste management. CNRA committee considered the bill and recommend the majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senators Frank, Pershaw, and Pierce. Senator Adams signed our recommendation. Finance committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senators Binkley, Newland, Quaterus, concurring Senators Pierce and Jaroff. Rules committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturzulski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rody.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rody? Without objection, House Bill 478 and 38.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 478, Community Regional Affairs, inoculating the solid and hazardous waste management.
Any discussion? Senator Ulett, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could we have a description of what the bill does? It carries a, looks like a $700,000 fiscal note.
Senator Farenkamp.
Mr. President, it establishes a solid and hazardous waste reduction and recycling program within DEC. Department coordinates with community and agency efforts to reduce the production of solid and hazardous waste. It promotes solid and hazardous waste reduction. It allows for grants of up to $50,000 for a single project, and it's to be matched dollar-dollar basis by the guarantee with cash in hand or cash in kind.
Further discussion? Senator Curtula.
Supporting this, but under some circumstances, my reading of it is you don't, the community can prove it can't afford it, so but needs it, it doesn't have to put up that funding.
Further discussion? Senator Halpert.
Thank you, Mr. President. What are the repealers in Section 4 of the bill? There are two sections repealed.
Senator Fakes.
The calendar shows a letter of intent, and I don't see it.
Senator will stand at ease. Have the letter of intent. We don't care about the letter of intent. We will not pass the letter of intent. All right.
Out of Finance Committee was apparently zero, and the finance chairman, I think, is getting that fiscal note, so I would call the House until we get it.
All right. There is a call in the Senate. Senate will stand at ease. Is the call satisfied? John, is anybody out there? We'll haul him in here.
That's the attitude.
Yes, sir.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
All right. Are we ready? Are you prepared to lift the call, Senator? The call of the Senate has been lifted. We are talking about House Bill 478. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. There were two fiscal notes that were in discussion here. One was a $700,000 fiscal note for DEC. The other one was a zero fiscal note from Community Regional Affairs. We checked with the Finance Secretary up there, and we did have some comments from people who stated that we did move out a zero fiscal note. However, the Secretary did not pick it up that way, so I move and ask unanimous consent that we take the bill back to Finance, put the zero fiscal bill note on tonight, and put it back up tomorrow morning on the top of the calendar.
Without objection, House Bill 418 is returned to the Finance Committee. 478.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 480, Community Regional Affairs, by the Community Regional Affairs Committee, an act authorizing loans for solid waste management projects from the Clean Air Water Fund. The Community Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senators Frank, Pershaw, Adams, and Pierce. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgiluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Petula.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Brody.
Mr. President, move that unanimous consent to House Bill 480 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 480 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 480, CNRA, an act authorizing loans for solid waste management projects from the Clean Water.
Is there discussion? Senator Halford.
Is there any money in the Clean Water Fund at this time?
Senator Fahrenkamp.
No, there's no money in the fund. There's none contemplated being put in there, but it does add waste management facilities to the Clean Water Fund, and that has the authorization if and when it's ever put in there.
Question being, shall the committee substitute for House Bill 480, CRNA, pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. If any senator wishes to change their vote, Secretary will record. And substitute for House Bill 480, CRNA, passes the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 481, Finance Amendment by the Finance Committee, and act related to state procurement of recycled paper and other products, and to the state's use of paper related to disposition of state property that is recyclable, establishing a waste reduction and recycling task force, and providing for an effective date. State Affairs Committee concluded the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Pershaw and Kelly signed due pass. Senator Adams signed no recommendation, fiscal note and zero fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Binkley and Ewing. Co-chairs concurring Senators Pearson and Jaroff. Previous House fiscal note and zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgiluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
House Bill 41 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 41 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 41, Finance Amendment, and act relating to state procurement of recycled paper and other products, and to the state's use of paper relating to disposition of state property that is recyclable, establishing a waste reduction and recycling task force, and providing for an effective date.
Is there discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 41, Finance Amendment, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for House Bill 481, Finance Amended, passes the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President,
without objection, effective date. Without objection, effective date clauses, plural, is adopted.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 523, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act related to certification of real estate appraisers and providing for an effective date. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Lyson, Chair, and Senator Rohde signed due pass. Senators Coghill and Fake signed no recommendation. Previous House fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and majority committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Binkley and Ewing, co-chairs, concurring Senators Pearson and Zara. Fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgiluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Without
objection, House Bill 523 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 523, Finance, an act related to certification of real estate appraisers and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall Senator Curtula.
Is a rule, and I don't say that's the correct procedure at all, but as a rule, professions are grandfathered in. Now, it's my understanding in this legislation, the appraisers are not grandfathered in. I also understand, just cursory, that there's a federal reason for they're not being grandfathered in. Is all of the above correct?
Senator Lyson.
Mr. President, the grandfathering clause relates to that. It says that the legislature, by enacting the proper law during this session, would allow sufficient time for those now engaged in appraisal work, the necessary time to become certificated.
Further discussion? The question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 523 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so, Committee substitute for House Bill 523 Finance passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays. Senator Rudy. Objection, effective date clause is adopted.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 557, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, and after related to telephone service for the deaf and hard of hearing. Labor and Commerce Committee considers the bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chair, concurring Senators Conkle, Rudy, Curtillo, and Fakes. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rudy.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rudy.
Mr. President, would you have to send House Bill 5572 to engross the best of readings and final passage?
Without objection, House Bill 557 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 557, Labor and Commerce, an act related to telephone services for the deaf and hard of hearing.
Any discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 557, Labor and Commerce, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the rolls. Any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for House Bill 557, Labor and Commerce, passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays.
I voted yes in Labor and Commerce. Is that good enough?
Shall committee substitute for House Bill 557, Labor and Commerce, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Should I slow down my cadence? Secretary will record the vote. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And lock the roll. And committee substitute for House Bill 557, Labor and Commerce, passes the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 195, Finance and Act Related to Divorce, is before the Senate in second reading with amendment number 2 moved and pending.
We have in front of us amendment number 3 by 2.
Mr. President.
Senator Frank.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm kind of asleep at the wheel here. I have offered a new amendment called amendment number 5. I would like to withdraw the amendments, the second corrected amendment, and I believe Senator Binkley would wish to withdraw 3 and 4, although he's not on the floor. Kind of a combination of the amendments, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw amendment number 2.
Senator Coghill, there is a call on the Senate. Senator stand at ease. Order. Rick Drew will be satisfied. Senator Frank, do you move to withdraw amendment number 2?
Yes.
There is a motion to withdraw amendment number 2. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Senator Binkley?
Thank you. Withdraw amendments 3 and 4, I believe.
Without objection, amendments 3 and 4 are withdrawn. Senator Frank.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I had earlier stated, this amendment would remove the consideration of past history of child support payments with regard to visitation. That was never the intent of my amendment up in finance. So we've removed that. We have there, as you can see on the amendment, we have softened the language somewhat in regards to the failure to pay child support. In terms of whether the person had actual knowledge of the child support arrearage and the and whether or not the person was able to pay. So
it is a basically a little bit of a compromise, and it does not affect visitations.
You have to move the amendment, Senator.
I move the amendment.
Is there an objection?
Yes.
There is objection. Is there further discussion? Question being, is it should amendment number 5 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So amendment number 5 is adopted by a vote of 15 yeas and 5 nays. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Rudy.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 195 be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place final passage.
House Bill 195 is on third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 195, Finance MS, an act relating to divorce, dissolution, annulment, and amending Rule 84A, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure.
Senator Coghill.
To object, I would like to get off the fast track. I have an amendment where I would like to take out Section 10 and Section 9. I have it here someplace in the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Section 10.
The bill has exactly been on the fast track.
President, Section 10 on page 2, lines 19 through 27.
Well, Senator Coghill, are
I've got it right
amendments
here.
Written down?
Yes.
Senator will stand at ease. Senator Rudy?
I withdraw my hand. I believe Senator Coghill was seated before as I made it.
Senator Coghill?
President,
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate rescind its action in adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 195 Finance, and that if we do that, then I'll move that we adopt the Judiciary Committee.
Well, who's going to call the Senate?
I'll call the Senate.
There is a call in the Senate. Senator will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. There is a motion to rescind our action in adopting the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 195. Is there a discussion? The question being, shall the Senator Frank?
Yeah, I think I'll just pass.
The question being, Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I think this gets us back to the version, or at least the motion, to adopt the Judiciary CS. I can support the Judiciary CS. I don't think I can support the Finance Committee Substitute.
The question being, Senator Duncan.
May we have an
adhesive? Senator, stand at ease. Order. Is there discussion on the motion? The motion is, shall the Senate rescind its previous action in adopting the Finance Committee Substitute?
Mr. President.
Senator Duncan.
Yes, because we have done a number of things here, and since we had adopted an amendment number 5 to the Finance CS, which changes what the Finance Committee did, I'd like to find out exactly what the differences are now between the Judiciary CS and the changed Finance CS.
Senator Frank.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the changes that I was involved in, we required that the court look at the past history of child support. Okay? And in so doing, they should take into consideration whether somebody's ability to pay was there and whether they had full knowledge of their obligation to pay. That was language which we amended this morning. We also have it apply only to custody determinations, not to visitation. And those are the two primary differences, I believe, but Senator Fakes or somebody else could perhaps speak more to the judiciary. But what we have now, after the finance and with adoption of the amendment, is, well, I guess I've already said that, so.
Senator Fakes.
A little philosophy of how the Judiciary Committee arrived at its decision on fashioning its particular committee substitute. We had several public hearings on this during the interim, and it was televised, teleconferenced. The bill, when it first came to us, was a relatively short bill. The philosophy was to put some factors inside the courts in which they have to look at for just a disillusionment. That normally, when you are right now under law, if you go in for a disillusionment, you sign a piece of paper saying everything's wonderful. You have a master there saying, did you reach an agreement? Both of you do not have to be in court. One can be represented by attorney. One doesn't have to be. And basically, it's a very limited procedure. It's a quickie divorce almost. There's no property settlement disagreements. Everything is done relatively quickly, and the judge doesn't have to rule on a lot of things. What the a lot of the research has shown, what the statistics have shown, is that one or the other spouse, generally the woman in this situation, is not getting a fair settlement in a disillusionment. That there are factors involved in the divorce that are not being brought out, and that is then rolling over into a limited or an unsatisfactory economic settlement for, generally speaking, the woman. So what we tried to do in 195 was research what case law there was in the state of Alaska and other places that specifically set out the guidelines for the judge to look at in a disillusionment. What were the kinds of things that the court history and the court law has said that the judge can look at? And that was a major Supreme Court case in 1962 called Merrill versus Merrill. And we referenced that. And then what we did in our section is we listed each factor. We listed all the factors and said the judge may look at these factors and any other factors that he feels pertinent. Those are all case law factors. What the Finance Committee did then was add a factor or two that is not specifically case law that brought in the question of visitation. So, and that's an ongoing question. It's a very controversial question, and that's why your finance version appears controversial before the body. The judiciary version is what I would call relatively free of controversy in that it doesn't bring in anything, any factors that haven't been listed in court. Now, some people would rather not have any of those factors in there, to tell the judge not to look at anything. But what we tried to do was be very rigid in the Judiciary Committee substitute and not bring in anything extraneous or extra into the process.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, let me just be sure then if I can repeat that and understand it. There's basically two areas here of concern. One is factors for consideration awarding shared child custody, and the Finance Committee expanded on that. However, with the adoption of the Senator's amendment from Fairbanks, we have more or less addressed the major concern, as I understand, that was there about the fact that someone was behind in child support payments, that would impact their ability to share custody. I think your amendment, unless I'm wrong, correct me, that amendment addressed that concern to a great extent. As far as the second part that we're addressing here, and if I'm wrong, I want to know this, but as far as the second concern that we're addressing about fairly allocating the economic effect of divorces, et cetera, and the factors that are listed there, as I read them on page 4 of the Judiciary Committee substitute, and also on page 4 and 5 of the Judiciary Committee substitute, and page 6 and 7 of the Finance Committee substitute, unless I've missed something, they're basically the same. And so the determination of the economic, maybe I've missed something, and if I have, that's what I want to also understand, because they appear to be the same.
Senator Pierce.
I understand the finance version that's before us with Amendment Number 5, which we adopted. We have taken out of this bill now the question of whether or not your child support payment history would be considered in visitation. That's no longer before us. That is not in the finance version that's before us. So what is in the finance version before us that's different is whether or not the court can consider, remember that it's permissive, whether or not the court can consider the past history with respect to child support payments. And we've added Senator Frank's language that the court also has to take into consideration whether or not the parent had actual knowledge of the amount that he or she owed and whether or not he or she had funds available for that. So forget about visitation and just think about whether or not you believe that the court should be able to take into consideration whether a parent has paid their child custody payments. Also remember that there's $157 million worth of child support payments out in arrearage in this state, and as I understand it, almost $4 billion in the nation. And what we're saying is that the court can take that into consideration when they make these awards.
Mrs. Mansky.
The previous speaker is way wrong. I mean, let me tell you, the amendment that we adopted softened that provision, but it certainly added it into it. And, you know, maybe the previous speaker read a different amendment, but the amendment is real clear. It puts it in as a provision when the parents do not pay and they know they have to pay. It's pretty clear. So there's no facade about it. I mean, you're adding a new element into it. I just don't believe, I have to agree, yeah, there's a tremendous back child support situation there. This is not going to correct it. What this is going to do is insert in a personal relationship between a parent, a child, and it's going to insert a condition that's not, has no relevance to it. You know, Justin's down here visiting me and is a part of it, as a part of an agreement that was there and is a part of a settlement, but not because of any relationship to child support, and it shouldn't be. You don't want to destroy a person's ability to have a relationship with their child because of a financial relationship between two parents that may be squabbling or fighting. That doesn't make any sense. I can't believe that we'd want to do that. And that's the reason I'd encourage us to go back and deal with the original committee report from Judiciary.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. I think the question, as Senator Szymanski put it, is it relevant? And I think it is relevant for the court to look at the child support history when they're determining which parent is more fit and able to care for the children. To say that it's irrelevant, that child support, the history of child support is irrelevant in a custody modification is absurd. Let's just take an example. One parent has custody of a child. The other non-custodial parent goes for 5 years without paying any child support, as when they're supposed to under the court decree. That non-custodial parent comes back in and says, "Hey, I'd like to have custody of my child now." We're saying if we take the judiciary, we're not telling the court to take a look at that. Now, and to suggest that fact that one's child support payment history is irrelevant as to whether a parent, a non-custodial parent, should have either sole or joint custody or shared custody, to say that that's irrelevant, I don't understand how someone could find that that is not relevant. It seems to me that the judge should consider, in determining which parent is more fit, willing, and able to care for the children and do all those other things that that list entails, that they should also consider among that long list. It doesn't say the judge should tip the balance that way. It doesn't say that they have to. It says that they shall consider the history of child support. And to find it that it's irrelevant is ludicrous, in my opinion.
Further discussion? The question being, rescind its previous action in adopting the Finance Committee substitute. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? The Secretary will lock the roll. Does any Senator wish to change their vote? The Secretary will record the vote. And so the Senate fails to rescind its previous action in adopting the Finance Committee substitute by a vote of 9 yeas and 11 nays. So we're now in a second reading. Did we move to third reading? We are in third reading. Senator Coghill.
Not in third reading.
We are in second reading. Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I have amendment number 6 on the desk. It's on the chair. What this basically does is that it takes out 50% of what the Finance Committee has done. It's taken out the Section 10 as amended and Section 9 as amended. And what it does is it takes out the fact that in determining whether to award shared custody of a child by the court shall consider the past history of the parents with respect to compliance with the child support payment, provisions of temporary or permanent support orders and agreements, and then including in there the language that was put in part in Section 5, or Amendment Number 5. Mr. President, I think that we were not able to go back to the Judiciary Committee by one vote shows that we have a divided House on this particular issue. I think that it's a traumatic situation that what we're doing here is that we're taking the arguments between two parents, and that we're putting the children right in the middle of it. And we're putting the children in the middle of it because of the economic being the misfortune or inability of a one parent or the other to be able to pay the support, and those provisions can be done under the court ruling and the court orders. We don't need to put it into hard law, and I think that we should really examine those amendments that we're putting into this statute. And I urge the members of the Senate to take a good hard look at it, because with the Family Support Act of 1988, which mandates withholding, it seems to me that a parent that is employed is going to be paying that child support as mandated and as obligated, and the custody of that child should not be because there's a riff or a hatred between two parents and it relates back down to the child. The child is the one that we should be thinking about in this debate.
Senator Szymanski.
I'm going to try to appeal to reason on this, because let me try to give you the situation. We all deal with our constituents on it all the time. And we've got a fisherman, or you're talking about a construction worker out there, and because for some reason, and he goes through fluctuating wages and that, he's behind. And the computer spits it out and he makes himself up. But it'll always show him that he was in arrears. But it'll show him as having a history of no payment. So he may, finally go back to work and he brings everything up current. And it's because, and he may be a fisherman, because he gets paid on periodic periods. That history of payment becomes a factor. He no more loves his child one way or the other on it. I mean, that's not a factor. But because he wants to have visitation, or she wants to have visitation, why introduce that element into an individual's right and privilege? Because the innocent person is the child. Because a person can't manage their finances well doesn't mean that they care any less for their child. It doesn't compute. And I understand that we're all concerned about arrearages, but why introduce that element into that real gut-wrenching and heart feeling that people have to have between their children? Why should he be not allowed to have the visitation? Is it because he didn't pay enough to have his visitation? Is that it? Are we going to put a bounty on visitation?
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, with a heart-rending speech like that, I'm sure when it comes to custody that the judge would be very moved. But this does not affect visitation. That's what this did. It only affects custody fights, not the visitation fights as it is now.
Senator Frank.
Yeah, and if that's the case, you know, if a guy is employed seasonally or something, you know, you can get your child support agreements modified. Maybe he could have a modified seasonal kind of arrangement. I'm not sure. But whatever the case, he can tell a story to the judge. He or she could tell a story to the judge, and the judge then has to consider that those facts along with the all the other things. I mean, all we're saying is, judge, take a look at it. We're not saying, judge, do this or that. We're just saying, take a look at it.
Senator Pierce.
If we really care about the children, we should err on the side of the examples that the senator from Fairbanks talked about a few moments ago when we were talking about the Judiciary Committee substitute. We should err on the side of the child whose parent has not paid child support for years. The bill presently, and you're taking it away if you pass this amendment, the bill presently allows the courts to look at the payment history. And if a fisherman comes in and says, look, I was working seasonally, we had a bad year, but I caught up. The court's not going to decide years later that he or she can't have child custody because of that, but there are many parents out there who haven't paid a cent, not a nickel, not a penny. And if we're going to take the children's lives, and if that's who we care about, and we ought to take them into account here, we should defeat this amendment.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to ask another question I probably should have asked earlier, and it relates to this whole area. I think the language is in both cases on page 2 and page 5. I've been through some of this stuff myself, and I can understand how difficult it may be. But what does yes, this is to the amendment. Mr. President, one of the factors that's, or one of the provisions that's already in law is provision 11, which is in the bill, which used to be provision 10. Other factors the court considers pertinent. Could someone tell me, isn't that pretty broad? Doesn't that allow the court now to consider past payments or delinquencies or whatever else they may want to consider? Is there a reason why we got to specify this in order for the courts to consider it?
Senator Frank.
Mr. President, certainly the court could consider it today. I think we are, in this amendment, suggesting that the court should consider. We're spelling it out. Now, you can sit there and say, or you can, you know, the court can certainly consider it now, but this is kind of, I guess, comes down to a policy matter. Do we want to direct the court to look at the history, or do we want to just leave it up to the court to decide for themselves whether that's relevant or not?
Question being, shall amendment number 1 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Member number 6 be adopted. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Secretary, does any senator wish to change your vote? Senator Duncan? We'll void that roll call. Question being, shall amendment number 6 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So amendment number 6 is adopted by a vote of 13 yeas and 7 nays. Are there any other amendments? Senator Rohde.
Consent that House Bill 195 be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 195 is in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 195, Finance Amendment Senate, an act relating to divorce, dissolution, annulment, and amending Rule 84A, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 195, Finance Amendment Senate, pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 195, Finance Amended Senate, passes the House by a vote of 18 yeas and 2 nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, moving to ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the court rules.
Without objection, the vote on the bill is considered the vote on the court rules.
Senate CS for House Bill 85, Rules AMS, enacting the financial administration of state government, the provision of and charges for state services, and the accounting for and disposition of state receipts, effective date before the Senate on reconsideration.
Is there any discussion? The question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 85, Rules Amended, Senate, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. And so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 85, Rules Amended, Senate, passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and 2 nays. Senator Duncan. Senator Rohde.
Moving to ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill, pursuant to the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. We have just a handful more bills. If you don't go very far, we can be out of here in 15 minutes. Senator Stanadies. Senator Fearnkamp.
Taker of the motion, may I please introduce guests before this goes?
Without objection, we turn to introduction of guests. Senator Fearnkamp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, I think it's with great pleasure that I introduce today the new Administrative Director of the Council of State Governments, the Western Conference, Andy Gross, who is in the Miller Gallery, and along with him is Cheryl DeVichel. You'll all remember her under another name, but that's what happens when women get married. Help me welcome them to the Senate. We're very glad to have them.
Senator Frank.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd also like to introduce a couple of guests from Senator Fearnkamp and my district back in the gallery, Lisa Yeager and Lucy Carlo. Please help us welcome.
Senator Stanadies.
I call the Senate, Mr. President.
Senator Stanadies.
Mr. President.
Madam Secretary.
Senate Resolution Number 22 by the Rules Committee establishing a Senate Special Committee on Health Care Facilities. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends calendar and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Is there any discussion?
Question?
Question being, shall Senate Resolution 22 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Senate Resolution 22 has passed by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays. Senator Alford.
Mr. President, were we under a call?
Senator Rohde lifted the call, Senator. At this time, I will appoint the Senate Special Committee on Healthcare Facilities Assessment, Senator Zaroff, Chairman, Senator Curtula, Senator Jones, Senator Porchot, Senator Frank. Madam Secretary.
Does that have a travel budget?
No, there is no. There is no note on it.
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 69, Foreign Trade, encouraging the United States government to include Aleut people and their blood relatives under future native visa-free travel agreements with the USSR. Senate Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism considered the resolution, recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senator Jarre and Sturzluski, previous zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturzluski, Chair, concurring Senators Elias and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
This was a moving to consent that the HGR 69 be considered to be gross, passed third reading, placed in final passage.
Without objection, HGR 69 is in third reading.
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 69, Foreign Trade, encouraging the United States government to include Aleut people and their blood relatives under future native visa-free travel agreements with the USSR.
Any discussion? Question being, shall Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 69, Foreign Trade, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. While members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 69, Foreign Trade, passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays.
House Joint Resolution Number 70, amended by the House Special Committee on Foreign Trade, encouraging the President of the United States to select Alaska as a site for a future summit meeting between the United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Senate Special Committee on Tourism and Trade considered the resolution, and the majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring. Senators Halford and Sturgalewski. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, Chair, concurring. Senators Kelly and Curtula.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, moving on to item number 10, that HCR 70 be considered a gross investment reading, place final passage.
House Joint Resolution Number 70 amended, encouraging the President of the United States to select Alaska as a site for a future summit meeting between the United States and the USSR.
The question being, shall House Joint Resolution 70 amended pass the Senate? Members, please proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So HJR 70 passes the, as amended, passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays.
CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 57 by the State Affairs Committee declaring 1991 to be a year of cultural diversity. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 57 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. While members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 57, State Affairs, passes the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays. That brings us back to House Bill 128.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 128, Finance, for the Finance Committee, an act relating to state oil and gas and geothermal leasing practices and adjustments of state royalties to encourage commercial promotion. Oil and Gas Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the SCS Oil and Gas. The majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Pierce, Chair, concurring. Senators Kelly and Halford. Senator Fisher signed no recommendation. Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends the Resources SCS and reports it back as follows. Senator Curtula, Vice Chair, and Senators Zharoff and Fahrenkamp signed no recommendation. Senators Frank, Elias, and Sturgalewski signed do pass. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Senate CS with the Finance. Senate CS and a majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ewing, Co-Chair, concurring. Senators Frank, Pierce, and Fisher. Senator Zharoff signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, Chair, concurring. Senators Rohde, Elias, and Curtula. Senator Curtula also signed no recommendation. There are several SCSs.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to ask unanimous consent that the Pre-Substitute for House Bill Number 128, Finance, be adopted with the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee Senator Halford.
I've got three different versions, all Senate Oil and Gas, Resources, and Finance. I'd like to know what the difference is.
Mr. President, I can tell you a little bit about the version that we dealt with up in the Senate
Senator Ewing.
Committee. There is a new Section 2 in the proposed committee substitute that would establish guidelines for the Director of the Division of Oil and Gas to follow when making a best interest finding for future oil and gas lease sales. The language has been developed with the assistance of the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Oil and Gas, and other interested parties. It is necessary in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on the Camden Bay lease sale to clarify the facts and issues a director must discuss and balance in determining whether it is in the best interest of the state to proceed or not to proceed with an oil and gas lease sale. Because the decision to lease is a key decision that transfers valuable property rights and ultimately may lead to development and production, the public needs to understand the careful analysis undertaken by the director. The public interest is served by establishing a list of matters and issues to be discussed by the director and by allowing the public to express concerns and have those concerns weighed in the decision-making process. That's essentially what the Finance Committee version does.
Further discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 128, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote.
No, it's Finance, yes.
Oh. Any adoption, any we're going to start all over again. Any objection to the adoption of this Finance Committee substitute? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for House Bill number 128, Finance, and Act relating to state oil and gas and geothermal leasing practices and adjustments of state royalties to encourage commercial production.
Senator Rohde. Without objection, House Bill 128 is in third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 128, Finance, and Act relating to state oil and gas and geothermal leasing practices and adjustments of state royalties to encourage commercial production.
There any discussion?
Question.
Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 128, Finance, pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 128, Finance, passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and one nay. Senator Rohde.
You notice my intent to reconsider House Bill 128.
Reconsideration on House Bill 128 is noted.
President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we take up my reconsideration of House Bill 128 at this time.
Senator will stand at ease. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and add, I presume my reconsideration has been taken up at this time.
We have in front of us House Bill 128, Finance.
I would therefore move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 128 be held on tomorrow's calendar.
Without objection, House Bill 128 is on tomorrow's calendar. Senator Rohde, are you going to announce a caucus after session?
I am now. Mr. President,
okay.
Under announcements, I would announce that we will have a caucus in the Butchovich room immediately following the close of today's session.
We forgot citations, Madam Secretary. We're not out of here yet, folks. Could everybody sit down, please?
President, through the chair to the majority leader, is the caucus open or closed?
I believe it's going to be closed. That brings us back to the citations
on March levy by Senators Pierce, Binkley, Curtula, Halford, Zemanski, Zaroff, honoring Stephanie Marks, Senators Binkley, Kelly, Curtula, Halford, Zaroff, honoring Betty McDonald, by Senators Sturzowski, Binkley, Rohde, Kelly, Pierce, Curtula, Halford, Zaroff, honoring the Good Sense Working Group volunteers, Senators Behrenkamp, Coghill, Frank, Pierce, Fakes, Binkley, Zemanski, Ewing, Curtula, Halford, honoring Carol Berry Davis, 100th year birthday, by Senators Duncan, Sturzowski, Binkley, Zemanski, Behrenkamp, Pierce, Curtula, Halford, Zaroff, honoring Southwest Energy Council Executive Director Pat Raphael, by Senators Pierce, Behrenkamp, Fakes, Sturzowski, Ewing, Binkley, Zemanski, Kelly, and Halford, honoring Judge Roy Matson, by Senator Zaroff, Sturzowski, Pierce, Binkley, Zemanski, Rohde, Behrenkamp, Curtula, and Halford, and that's it.
Senator Coghill.
President, I have moved and asked consent that I be added to the citation honoring Stephanie Marks, and also honoring Carol Berry Davis.
Without objection. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President.
No, Senator Binkley. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, move
next. Senator Sturzowski.
All right. Under announcements.
We're under citation.
I'm sorry.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that citation counter be approved as read.
Without objection, Senator Sturzowski.